And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
I'm GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns, and we welcome you guys back here to another preview episode as the Gophers take on Indiana State of the Missouri Valley Conference and the FCS side of things in football. Luke, how are you on this Thursday night? It looks like we got some Broncos and Panthers on the television as we record this, so it's nice to see something besides college football back in the air.
Yeah, the sports abyss is almost well beyond us. Football's back, college football, now the NFL, and basketball will be here before you know it. And yeah, it's a nice time of the year to start gradually getting back into the sports swing of things.
Hey, I was at the Twins game last night, to be completely honest with you, trying to see if Dozier would hit his 40th home run of the season, and pleasantly surprised the Twins won a game, which is some saying something, as they're the worst team in baseball.
Yeah.
So, not a bad time to be a sports fan, and with an FCS team coming to the Twin Cities this weekend, it's not a bad time to be looking forward to another likely Gopher victory this weekend.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting as Minnesota takes on Indiana State. You know, more famous for their basketball acumen than their football, and largely thanks to Larry Bird. But yeah. I know little to nothing about Indiana State's football team, as I know little to nothing about FCS football in general.
Well, it's a good thing you have, I would say, an above-average FCS mind on the podcast here, co-hosting it with you.
Yes, no kidding.
You cover some for North Dakota State University, so with Indiana State being in the same football conference in the Missouri Valley there, I'm sure I can shed some light with the Indiana State Sycamores, besides being the Fighting Larry Birds and the Sean Payton Sycamores, Sean Payton being the head coach for the New Orleans Saints.
Okay.
So there are a couple of people that have gone to that university.
All right, let's start with maybe a little bit of recruiting. You know, with Tracy Clays in the fold, traditionally, you know, visits have come more towards bigger games, conference games. But you got any information on guys that'll be on campus this weekend visiting, whether it be for an official, an unofficial, or just any visit in general?
The latest in recruiting is, I don't think I've touched on this on the Monday or Tuesday pod, but Minnesota had an official visitor last weekend, and Kieran Hafiz, someone from the state of Florida, a defensive back who's currently committed to Iowa State University. He took an official visit into Minnesota for the game against Oregon State. From talking with him, I know he was pretty impressed, but he's a kid that you can tell he is going to be making a final decision closer to signing day, someone whose commitment to Iowa State just lost to Northern Iowa. So Iowa State's still going to Iowa State themselves. he's going to make a decision closer to national signing day, and I don't really anticipate hearing much definitive news from him until then. This upcoming weekend, Minnesota was scheduled to have three official visitors, but I've learned this evening on Thursday night that they're likely going to only have one, maybe two now. One that is currently confirmed, as he's already on campus already, is Minnesota offensive line commit Corey Gaynor. He's someone from Florida. He's an offensive lineman that shows the Gophers over Pittsburgh and West Virginia. Someone who committed to Minnesota sight unseen. Someone that I know Bart Miller is extremely high on. He's a big physical guard, 6'4", 290 pounds. I'm talking with him today. He supposedly, after looking at his highlights, he tells me he's got 33 pancakes through two games. And from watching his highlights, I can tell you, if you're looking for a big, physical, athletic guard who's going to be looking pretty good in space, as Bart Miller likes to pull those guards across the formation and hit the hole there, I think Corey's going to fit in very well. Minnesota was also scheduled to have Trey Young, a defensive back from Alabama who's currently committed to Troy University. Again, all that on paper doesn't sound great, but again, you have to trust Jay Saville, as, again, Minnesota's one of five teams in the country to have a defensive back draft in the last, I forget if it's two or three drafts, I think it's three straight drafts Minnesota's had a defensive back drafted, along with the likes of Ohio State, Alabama, Florida State, and Virginia Tech. So trust Jay Saville. I think he's proven himself on the recruiting trail, but unfortunately that visit had to be pushed back due to some conflicting things on both sides for Minnesota and Trey. So I have heard rumblings, and I have talked with the kid There may be another official visitor on campus this weekend. He's currently committed to another school, and he doesn't really want it out in the light that he's potentially visiting a different school that he's currently committed to. So I will respect his wishes, and we will not discuss his name. But as you said, traditionally what happens in during the season in terms of official visits is Tracy's and the staff here like to schedule official visits for bigger games. So you're already starting to see official visits get lined up for games against Iowa, Northwestern. So they want in the early part of the season, what I believe the trend is Tracy Clay's and staff like to really focus on the season and make sure they get off on the right foot. And then towards the latter half of the season, they really do kind of shift a little bit more towards recruiting as well as they get into the swing of things. And obviously they get into the same rhythm, I guess, of what the game week's going to look like. And they get to find some more time in their schedules to address recruiting. So it's looking like one, maybe two official visitors this weekend. I do anticipate most of the in-state commits to be at the game on Saturday. Most of them play tomorrow night. I will be at the Robbinsdale-Cooper versus Benilde-St. Margaret game tomorrow night at Cooper High School to see Minnesota offensive line commit Eric Abogie. So if anybody listening to the podcast wants to come watch a good high school football game here in the state of Minnesota, I encourage you to join me at the Cooper football game tomorrow. We can talk some Gophers or whatever you want to talk about. So that's about what the latest and greatest is in the world of recruiting, Luke. I will say that after the game on Saturday, Minnesota will shift into recruiting mode 100% with the bye week coming up the following week. I've already talked to at least a handful of kids that are currently not committed to Minnesota, and they've told me that the coaches are coming in to watch them practice or whatever it may be. So if you are a recruiting fanatic, like I know I was before I got to be the publisher of Gopher Illustrated, I encourage you to check out Gopher Illustrated Daily. I'll have where the coaches are going, who they're seeing with reaction. So it should be a eventful couple of 7 to 10 days here, Luke.
All right, let's transition, preview this game. You know, similar to the early games, it's hard to get a real feel for opponents because the sample size is, you know, very, very small. So let's kind of focus mostly on Minnesota in this game. You know, there are a few guys out with injuries. Lingen and Carter especially come to mind. You know, it looks like those guys will be back. What are we going to see any real differences in this game in approach from a personnel standpoint aside from those two guys?
As you mentioned, Minnesota will be getting a couple of guys back. Probably should address the injury situation here earlier, but for those who don't know, Rashad Still is going to be out probably around 4 to 5 weeks. He has a broken collarbone or clavicle. It has not been clarified as to which it is. But Tracy Clays has said he's expecting Rashad Still, Minnesota's starting X receiver there, to be out about 4 to 5 weeks, and there has been no talk of getting him a medical redshirt. So for anybody who's wondering that, Rashad is expected to come back and play here in the latter half of the Big Ten season. And as you mentioned, Luke, Brandon Lingen was cleared for contact earlier this week, which is a great sign, meaning I would anticipate him, if he did go through the motions and was did fine in practice this week. I think Brandon will be on a little bit of a pitch count just so they can see how his shoulder reacts. Again, it's Indiana State. I mean, you don't want to get – one of the keys of the game that I'm sure I'll be talking about here later is just make sure everybody's healthy after this game. More times than not, against a 5-win FCS team from the year before, you're going to be just fine. And you want to, one of the goals that in that game is you want to get people a lot of reps. You want to make sure everybody's healthy. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Brandon Lingen only play 30, 35 snaps or so. Make sure that he's not too sore after the game, and then really ramp it up getting ready for Colorado State. Shannon Brooks will not be playing in the game this weekend. Again, this is what we've been talking about for weeks since this injury happened, and it looks like our hypotheses are coming true, Luke, and that's we're in the middle of this 3 to 5 week timetable that we were given initially when Shannon went in and had a screw put in his foot after breaking a bone, and it looks like Minnesota's going to play it safe in terms of Shannon is running now, but they're not going to put him in a game situation until they know he's 100% cleared, ready to go, and there's not going to be a setback after that. So it makes sense for him not to play this weekend. And then during the bye week, you really ramp things up with him, get him into game shape again during practice the next week leading up to Colorado State. You really try to get him in as much contact drills as you possibly can to make sure he's still confident in his cuts, confident in the way he can play, and he doesn't have to feel like he's favoring one foot more than another because of that injury. And then you'll see him against Colorado State, in which I would assume would be as full of a load as you're going to see. With Rodney Smith looking as good as he did last week, again, Tracy Clay's addressed after the game, but this is going to be a hot hand approach, and I can see why. Again, Rodney rushes for 125 yards, two rushing touchdowns against a Power 5 school. You're probably going to want to give them both as much looks as you can. So while I anticipated this in the offseason to be a Shannon Brooks type of 70-30 split, with Shannon going down early and Rodney stepping into his shoes and really excelling with the opportunity, I think you're probably going to see closer to a 50-50 split. As you also mentioned, Minnesota gets Eric Carter back from injury, someone who was dealing with a high ankle sprain. And with Rashad still going down, that's going to be nice to see him get some reps. It was also nice to see Melvin Holland and Isaiah Gentry back in the depth charts. So with Rashad still going to be out for 4 weeks or so, I think one of the biggest guys note here is that would ideally step into Rashad Still's role is Isaiah Gentry. Again, fans know that he has the deep elite speed. He's someone that is very similarly built to what Rashad Still can add. He's another big time receiver, very big. So I'm interested to see if Isaiah Gentry can finally get everything clicking together, be an X receiver for this team. Maybe Brian Smith slides to the outside and Eric Carter comes into the slot. We'll have to see how things look on Saturday, but as you mentioned, it's going to be interesting to try and follow things here as this game gets closer and closer.
All right, so you know when facing FCS opponents, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but this is expected to be a win. So outside of first getting the victory, the secondary thing is, what does Minnesota have to do to consider this game a success and be able to make show progress in you know the offensive side with acclimating to Jay Johnson's offense, or even defensively, that you know we're seeing some new schemes to try to get pressure on the quarterback. What would you deem as a success in this ball game?
As you mentioned, I know this game is a 23-point favorite for Minnesota at home, but again, you look across college football the previous week and you see Northern Iowa take down Iowa State. You see Appalachian State take a top 10 Tennessee team to overtime. You know, I don't think that Indiana State should be considered to the likes of the App States, the Northern Iowas, of course. Northern Iowa is a top 10 team in the FCS.
The NDSUs, any of those. There's a lot of quality FCS teams, right? But
Eastern Washington even took down Washington State, who was ranked last weekend.
Right.
That being said, these are all top 10 ranked FCS right. programs, and Indiana State is not currently ranked in the FCS polls, and they're coming off a 5-1 season. So I'm not necessarily too concerned that you're going to see a major letdown here. In terms of what I think this game has to be to be considered a success, first and foremost, you have to get the victory, obviously. And second of all, I think you have to come out healthy. This isn't a game that I anticipate that, well, as I say this 48 hours from game time, I don't think that many of the starters should be playing in the fourth quarter. If Minnesota does business correctly, I think you'll get to see Connor Rota at quarterback. You'll be able to see a lot of Kobe McCrary in the second half. Just some different guys that are providing depth get some time here, and you get to see them be excited and make plays against a opponent like Indiana State. In terms of the offensive side of the ball, I think one of the funny things this week, I keep reading on Gopher Illustrated's message board and on Twitter, is that people keep telling me, well, why does this offense look so much the same? Now, Luke, I know that you have to listen to me drone on twice a week here.
Yeah.
But do you remember what percentage of the offense I have been harping for months was going to stay the same?
Right. It was somewhere on the order of like 70 or upper
60%. 70%.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think people were expecting this brand new shiny toy offense. When it's in people, I've been telling you for 3, 4, 5 months, it's going to be 70% the same. In terms of the first quarter last week and why that looks so eerily similar to what Minnesota's stagnant offense was last season, it's because Minnesota was scripting. They were going through a set script of plays that Jay Johnson wanted to run so they could see what the defense would do to adjust to these plays, and then Minnesota could schematically attack that going forward. Again, after the first quarter last week, when Minnesota didn't shoot itself in the foot with snaps over the head or pre-snap penalties to kill drives, they scored touchdowns. So I understand that people want to see more glitz, more glam from this Gopher offense, but I don't think you're going to see it this week. There's absolutely no reason to bust out anything new to put on tape. I mean, you can be as vanilla as possible and still win this game. So I think this is a scenario where you're going to see a lot of zone read. You're going to see a lot of, power. You're going to see pretty normal things you'd expect from what you've seen out of the Minnesota offense. And as far as, again, I don't think Minnesota really has to pull a rabbit out of a hat to win this game, so they're not going to on offense. On the defensive side of the ball, I think it's going to be interesting to see Julian Huff get the start at linebacker. With Jonathan Celestine being ejected in the second half last week, that means he's not eligible for the first half of the Indiana State game along with Teyon Devers. So with no Jonathan Celestine in the lineup, you're going to be able to see an extended look with meaningful snaps for Julian Huff. So I'm interested to see how Julian reacts to that. He's someone that I thought was one of the most improved players on the defensive side of the ball from the spring, and I'm very interested to see how he performs. In terms of different looks and different coverages, I mean, we talked extensively last week about how Minnesota ran the 2-4-5 for a majority of the game, but that was only because of necessity. You look at what Oregon State wanted to do, spread out 14 personnel. 10 personnel with 4 receivers out wide, and they just had a running back. Again, Minnesota would be very smart to run this 2-4-5 to get as many skilled position players on the field to try and cover these speedy Oregon State players. But when you're looking at a team like Indiana State, sure, they have a quarterback who just put up, I believe, 300 yards and 2 touchdowns against Butler last week. But again, I don't really think you should be comparing what Oregon State has at the skill positions on offense to Indiana State. So I think you're going to see more 4-3. I think you're going to see extended looks at guys like Galen Elmore, Hank Epke, Winston, Deladi Boudere, and maybe some Jerry Gibson and Teyon Devers at the end. And then, again, this is a game where I think Minnesota can just play to what they normally do in practice. They don't have to get fancy on offense or defense. So I think this is going to be a very vanilla game on both sides of the ball.
All right, let's. I got a few quick hitting questions for you, and then we'll get to a prediction. How about? Okay, first quick hitting question: did the Gophers score in the first quarter this week?
That's a great point that you bring up, and it's something I talked about with PA today. Was Minnesota last season, as we've talked about in the podcast, outscored by their opponents by a score of 75-37, and then from the second quarter even through overtime last season, Minnesota was outscoring their opponents. Mm-hmm. And so that's, a 38-point margin in the first quarter.
Right.
At Minnesota. And you had those 7 losses by, I believe it was, that combined 38 points. So if you want to win these close games, you have to get ahead early. And even last week, Luke, Minnesota at the end of the first quarter was trailing 7-0.
Right.
So if Minnesota wants to get on the right foot, for the offensive side of the ball, I think scoring early, scoring in the first drive is going to be key. So it's, as you mentioned, Minnesota has to figure out a way to get going earlier. It's time and time again. We have a sample size of the last 14 games, which isn't a relatively small sample size, and Minnesota is consistently being outscored. I don't know whether Jay Johnson and Tracy Clays have to switch things up and try to go for a deep shot or a trick play early on to try and get the momentum on their side to really get things rolling in the right direction, but that's something they got to figure out here soon. And I think if Minnesota's not up 7-0 or 10-0 or even more after the first quarter, I mean, I wouldn't be a happy camper. I will just point it that way.
Okay, so do they score in the first quarter or not?
Yes. If you can't score against an Indiana State defense in the first quarter, I think that something's got to change. But I mean, if you think about logistically, Minnesota over under probably 2.5 possessions in the first quarter, probably considering you think that you can get Indiana State to go 3 and out or 6 and out, meaning that you can have some sustained drives in the first quarter. So if you give me 2.5 possessions, you know, I think Minnesota would be able to put points on the board.
All right. Do the Gophers get more than 4 sacks this game? Last game they had 4. Last season, you know, they struggled to get pressure on the quarterback. What about in this game?
Oh, boy. I'd say they're probably at 3 or 4. I don't think anything more than that. I think, again, the metric I'm trying to instill in our listeners here, Luke, is that that sacks aren't necessarily a great indication of how much pressure that you're getting on the quarterback.
Right, QB hits.
Or, I mean, just even from watching the game and seeing pressures, maybe the quarterback gets the ball out of his hand a little bit early and he forces a bad throw into tight coverage and Minnesota gets an interception. But, yes, I think quarterback hits would be a much better indication. But I'd say 3 or 4 sacks. I wouldn't tick the over there, though.
All right. Looking at the offense, you know, it seemed a little bit skewed towards the run, especially early last week. What do you think? Is it a little? I know you said it's going to be a little more vanilla, but do you think?
I think they're going to run. If Minnesota doesn't end up with over 200 rushing yards, 225 rushing yards, I don't think Bart Miller and Jay Johnson will consider this game a success. This is a game where you should be able to run the ball down the opponent's throat, especially for the kind of offense that Minnesota is trying to establish. Again, as we spoke about last week, Luke, you take out the 3 Leidner runarounds and the 2 snaps over the head, and Minnesota actually did or would have rushed for over 200 yards on the ground with 4 rushing touchdowns. Now, I think that should be the expectation again this week. I think over 200 rushing yards and 4 rushing touchdowns. I just really don't see Minnesota having to really put the ball in the air more than 20, 25 times. I mean, there's no reason to. You want to establish the ground game and say that's one of your strengths, as Minnesota had been trying to do previously for 5 years, and then prove it against an inferior opponent. Mm-hmm. Do it against an Indiana State team and make sure that people know that you're going to be a ground and pound team and they're going to have to account for that.
All right, and give me a player that give me a one player on offense and defense that you expect to stand out that it wouldn't be a normal name, not a Mitch Leidner, not a Steven Richardson. Give me a name of a guy that might step up and play big minutes, whether it's in a reserve role or you know, because of the suspensions and injuries.
Well, that's not fair that I got to think on my feet. Like
I had to think of questions on my feet, so you got to do something on your feet.
I'll pick Kobe McCrary on the offensive side of the ball. Again, I don't think Minnesota is going to really have to play Roddy more than 2, maybe 2.5 quarters, as you know what you're getting in Rodney, and you want to make sure he's healthy. So, and you want to get a good look at Kobe McCrary after he was only able to get 2 carries last week. So I think Kobe McCrary is going to be someone getting the ball a ton, and maybe the latter half of the second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him put up his first collegiate touchdown. On the defensive side of the ball, I'll pick 2 guys, Luke. I'll pick Julian Huff again. With Celestine out for the first half because of suspension, I think you're going to see an extended look at Julian Huff. I think this is the kind of game where he's really going to excel. I think you're going to see him. Here's my bold prediction. Julian Huff has a sack. I don't know that that's too bold, so I'll go Julian Huff has a sack and a tackle for loss at least. And then I'm excited to see Ray Buford, someone that I'm a little surprised that didn't get in the game last week against Oregon State, but in talking with some people, Minnesota wanted to keep their base nickel set on the field as much as possible, meaning that you're seeing a lot of Keontae Harden and Jalen Myrick at corner, but I think you're going to get a good look at Ray Buford in his first collegiate action. Hopefully he makes a play or two to live up to these lofty standards and expectations which have been placing upon his head for about the latter half of a year now saying that he's got the highest ceiling of any Gopher on this roster. But again, I just think that he's going to be a very special player by the time he leaves. And, you know, I think he's someone that's going to be a 3-year starter starting next season. So Julian Huff, Ray Buford, and Kobe McCrary are my three guys that I think should have extended roles in this game.
All right, let's finish it up with your prediction. How do you see this thing going down? Are you going to take the over on the over-under of, what is it, 50-some in the spread of 23?
Yeah, so the last I saw, the over-under was about 54.5, spread being 23 points, meaning that you're looking at a 38-17 kind of a game. I believe, I don't have the article pulled up right ahead of me, which I'll have for tomorrow on Gopher Illustrated, but I believe Minnesota's last three FCS opponents, Minnesota has had zero issues putting up points. I think the point totals are 28, 42, and like 45. So if Minnesota is not over 30 points, I would be very concerned. But I think that 23 mark is going to be I think this is a game where it'll be 34-14. So maybe more. Again, I can see Minnesota putting up 40 points in not a lot of time, especially with if this first offensive line really gets rolling early. Maybe Minnesota's got 28 points at half, and then I think they could probably score two garbage time touchdowns in the second half at the twos. So, but I'm somewhere around 34-14, 20-point victory. You get to see Connor Rhoda get some action. You get to see some of these backups get some action that don't really get a lot of credit, and they just have a very extended role on special teams. So it's supposed to be 70 degrees and sunny last I looked 36 hours from now, Luke, and it's going to be a beautiful day for some Big Ten football. I encourage you, if you want to check out a game and say the missus or a neighbor or one of your parents doesn't want to go to one of those cold weather games, I would encourage you to come to the game on Saturday. Probably going to find the lowest ticket prices of the season because it is Indiana State. But again, you cannot beat the weather. 70 degrees, sunny, Big Ten football, and you get to probably get a great seat for the, it is Indiana State. So again, if I encourage you, if you want to check out a game this season, this would be the game if you want to come and sit in the sun and enjoy a great Saturday.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting, obviously, to watch and bright and early at 11 a.m. So if you're on the drive to the stadium, you're listening, have fun. And otherwise,
hey,
what?
Hey, Luke, what? I don't know that I don't think I've put this out there on the Gopher Illustrated or the Twitter yet. But if you are driving the game for the rest of the season, I'll be on the pregame show. I'll be co-hosting
nice.
It. I will be co-hosting with Kevin Faulness, so if you want to hear this lovely tone of my voice as you're driving into TCF Bank Stadium, feel free to tune into KFAN 100.3 from 9 a.m. on. I'll be on there talking some Gopher football and spreading the Gopher love across the great KFAN network.
Again, thanks for listening, everyone. Go Gophers.